Thank you very much. It's indeed a pleasure to be here in the U.S. and the opportunity to present at this quite amazing conference, which is the first time I've been here. In regards to what I'm supposed to be doing, in regards to conflict and all the rest of the stuff, this grant or this project was funded by provincial and federal funds and through the Primary Care Health Transition Fund. And when we applied this, or when we went for IRB at the university, they considered the fact that I was a chiropractor doing chiropractic research as a conflict of interest, but nevertheless changed their mind. As we heard from a previous session, Bill did a wonderful job with this, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time with it. Musculoskeletal conditions, both chronic low back and neck pain, are common and use significant amount of health resources. When we look at patients that have chronic low back pain, for example, studies have indicated that 31 to 48% of patients tend to have or tend to be co-managed. Now, that's not implying that they may be seen both or be collaborating together in managing of these cases, but these particular patients are seeing physicians and chiropractors at the same time. We know that co-managed patients have more chronic conditions and have worse related quality of life. This has been shown through a number of studies, at least in the Ontario area, where when looking at collaborative relationships, we tend to attract patients that have much more comorbidities and more chronic pain. And so we feel that this does create an opportunity to address different lifestyle factors, not just managing particular problems. But I think it's a little, we're unclear at this point how preventative healthcare counseling impacts chiropractors when they're involved in an interprofessional collaborative care model. In other words, how do they deal with it? Do they focus just on MSK or do they do the holistic thing that chiropractors are known for? So the purpose of this particular component of our work was to compare the health counseling scores of patients who received interprofessional collaborative chiropractic care and then compared them to a cohort of patients that were being treated by chiropractors who had no idea what was going on with their collaboration study. This is a cross-sectional design. Study involved chiropractors in a collaborative study. In other words, we had chiropractors volunteer to participate in three different sites in southern Ontario. And they agreed to participate with physicians in managing patients with musculoskeletal care. They followed guidelines, and patients had to complete a number of different reports. Another group of chiropractors were chosen because of their location. We tried to make it similar to our practice sites, and I'll review that in a second. The main outcome measure that we'll be talking about today comes from the Primary Care Assessment Survey that was originally developed by Safran that built upon the seven domains and 11 summary scores, which were characteristic of what would be ideal primary care, so kind of key performance measures for delivering patient-centered primary care. It assesses doctor-patient relationship over time, so not just the experience at what particular point in time, how did you do today, but rather the entire lifespan of that relationship. It has acceptable psychometric properties, at least the original one. We modified it to meet our own particular purposes, and as a consequence, we redid the psychometrics and found very similar results. So we were happy to move forward with that. What I want to talk about today is simply the counseling domain, which was slightly modified to deal with what reflects more in chiropractic practice. So we removed the question related to sexual diseases and replaced it with back and spine care, but otherwise we tend to keep the same type of components, which dealt with smoking, alcohol use, seatbelt use, diet, weight, exercise, stress, and back care. So the study DC is just to give you an indication. They were actually paid. We use a capitated model with a few bonuses built into it to get them to provide exercises and education for their patients, because the model really wanted to emphasize the role of active care as opposed to passive care. The reference DCs in this case, as I indicated, were matched. We tried to a priori match them, and it was basically a purposeful sample. We looked at who was in the areas that were very similar in population and demographics, and then we selected the chiropractors and asked them to participate. Those that did agree to participate, they took the next 50 consecutive patients from a particular point in time, and the next 50 consecutive patients were asked to complete this the PCAS following their interaction with the chiropractor. The same process was used for the study chiropractors, except at that point we had them complete, all the patients completed the form after 4 weeks. We started off with about 5,200 eligible patients. The study group had about 20 we lost a bunch of people in there because of the fact that the 41 chiropractors did not submit all a sufficient number to be included in there. We only included the chiropractors who had submitted at least 40 PCAS surveys, because anything less than that, the original author felt that it did not represent the relationship. So we ended up with 16 chiropractors in the study group, 12 rural and 4 in the urban setting, for a total of about 2,067 surveys. And in the reference group, we had 530 chiropractors, and kind of a similar type of distribution, rural and urban. To give you an idea of the patient demographics, we see by age and gender they're fairly similar, except when we look at the complaints, patients that were involved in the study tended to have higher prevalence of arm and leg or extremity complaints compared to those in the reference group, and there was slightly more neck and back pain. The two main differences that we found was the patients in the study group tended to have longer or more pain days over a six-month period, which is not unlike what we said earlier and others have found in collaborative arrangements compared to patients in the reference group. But the real key thing here that that we notice is that patients in the study group had relationships with a chiropractor of less than 6 months, about 43% of them did, compared to the chiropractors in the field where their patients were had relationships where they're much longer, which, again, when you consider the referral nature of this particular study, it makes sense. But as a proxy for satisfaction, the scores are pretty well relatively the same, so patients in both groups reported good treatments or satisfaction, sorry. The longitudinal score is basically a reflection of what I just talked about. The longer your relationship, the higher the score. The counseling score, which is a sum of the responses of each of those categories that I described earlier, and then transformed to a score over 100, where 100 is a maximum, you see here that there's quite a significant difference between the study group, which scored on average 50.53, compared to the reference group, which had a score of 72.22, and those are confidence intervals in brackets. We then looked and said, okay, why is there a difference, and where is that difference found? So what I put on this slide is basically two components. One is the patient reporting that the chiropractor had actually spoken to them about this particular item, and the other one, the patient scoring if they thought it was relevant or not. We often talk about primary prevention, and we assume that this is what patients want to see. It was really informative for me to include this particular line as to how patients perceive what they think of this question, if it was relevant or not. Now, that could be because, for example, they don't smoke, or they've given up smoking, or maybe they smoke and they don't think it's your business. So I can't give you any more than that than simply those numbers. But what's interesting is when we look at the general health issues of smoking, alcohol, and seatbelt, they're pretty well consistent between the study and a reference group. They're almost identical. When we go to the next component, as we get into the musculoskeletal, you see that the percentage of interaction between the patient and the chiropractor increases quite a bit. In regards to diet and weight, there was slightly more in the reference group. With regards to exercise, despite us paying people to tell patients to provide them with active care, still about 76% of the patients reported that the chiropractor had given them advice in that area. Areas of stress, almost 53% in the study group and 70% in the reference group. And in the back spine care, about 90% in a reference and about 80% in the study group. The next question is asked is, if the chiropractor gave you this advice, did you actually follow through with it? So I'm going to use this as a proxy of compliance, although we have no other evidence longer term than this than they actually did it, but they report that they took the advice. What we thought was really interesting, that of those patients who received information regarding alcohol, about 50% of the patients reported following the advice. Smoking was 66%, diet weight advice was 75%, but when we get into the MSK world, including stress, about 90 to 95% of the patients who were given the advice reported actually taking it. So what does this tell us? Firstly, patient profiles are slightly different in the study versus reference group. But when we look at who they present and what they present with, there's definitely a role for chiros to play in this particular environment. Prior studies have suggested that 80 to 80 to 90% of chiropractors report giving advice to patients. But when we get it from the patient's perspective, those numbers somewhat change, and they change in particular to the nature of the advice that is given. So greater than 80% of the DCs seem to provide advice on spine care and exercise, but much less than that on matters related to smoking, stress, and diet. But when patients were reported, there was a high percentage that indicated they actually took the advice when it came to matters of stress, spine, and exercise. So definitely there's a role for chiros in the collaborative model to be able to play and influence the care patients have, especially in the areas of MSK. Now, there are limitations and issues in the data that we're presenting. The group differences may be related primarily to the duration of relationships. We presented this earlier and showed that the duration of relationship has a significant impact on many of the scale scores. So this is something that we want to look in further. The study design, it's a convenient sample. It was a cross-sectional one, so at one point in time. And the people that we, on our reference group, was basically, again, volunteer chiropractors with patients that were not randomized. But in both groups, advice on general health related information was not as frequently provided, nor was it as frequently followed by patients. So the study DCs may actually be assuming a specialist role, especially in this collaborative care model that we've developed, and thus focus more on pain relief and issues related to how that may impact the patient care. And also the relationship that they may be developing with the physician, understanding that this is what I'm really good at and this is what I'll be doing. The other thing that the patients may actually be perceiving that the chiropractor is more of a specialist than MSK and more in a pain relief, and so are more willing to take advice from that perspective, understanding that they see him as a specialist and expert, as opposed to somebody on matters of general health, which they may look at their physician. So in conclusion, DCs commonly do provide musculoskeletal-related information. Patients report following advice on MSK activities. DCs participating in interprofessional collaboration can become more active in providing more general health-related advice, especially in challenges in primary care today, where they're, at least in Canada, where patients have difficulty accessing primary care and physicians tend to be overworked and workloads are and wait times are slightly increasing, that chiropractors can play a very important role in this particular area. It'd be interesting to do some long-term follow-up studies in order to actually assess if the patients maintained that level of understanding and compliance to the advice taken. And our next step is to actually look at some of the confounders that may have an impact on the counseling score and look at age, gender, obesity, and other factors and just have difficulty merging some of that data. But hopefully that'll buy me a ticket to the next conference. Thank you.